Big changes coming to the LPGA Tour as Commissioner Molly Marcoux-Simon set to step down in January. Reaction and much more ahead on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Golf Today on a Monday, Damon Hack alongside Ryan Lavner. If you learned anything in covering this game, December is not always a sleepy time in the game. Big news to report as the LPGA Tour announced today that Commissioner Molly Marcoux-Simon will be stepping down from her role on January 9th of next year. Now, Liz Moore will assume the role of interim commissioner. The tour's board of directors will work with an executive search firm to conduct a global search for the organization's next commissioner. This quote from Marcoux-Simon: "I am proud of the unprecedented growth the LPGA has enjoyed since I began my tenure." That was back in 2021. "The strategy we have built for growth and impact, along with the infrastructure we have added to capitalize on the tremendous opportunity ahead, will serve the LPGA well in the coming decades. With the LPGA positioned for continued growth, it's time for me to have more time to cheer on our three amazing children as they live their dreams while I continue to pursue my passion for building leaders, uniting communities, and creating value through sports, particularly women's sports." Ryan, your reaction to this news really seemed to come out of nowhere.
It certainly did. And look, this was an unenviable position, right? Following a wildly popular leader in Mike Wan. And Molly Marcoux-Simon did do some things well. She oversaw the greatest period of growth in the LPGA's history. The athletes are making now more than they ever have before. The schedule for 2025 and beyond does look strong. But over the course of her tenure, she was undermined by some issues. Transparency with players. The Solheim Cup debacle this year. She's had some issues with sponsors. And I think the overarching question that we're going to be asking about her legacy with the LPGA is going to be, did she maximize the popularity and the exposure of her players? You have a player in Nelly Korda, who was a seven-time winner this year, is now, I would consider her to be a household name, not just in the golf world, but in the sports world. What about the other players? Has she capitalized on this boon and this growth, this tidal wave of momentum for women's sports, or was there something left on the table? I think that's the big question for her legacy.
And it's a question that may not be answered for a couple of years from now. But you're right. When you think about this time in sports, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Simone Biles, Suni Lee, you know, Nelly Korda, for as great as she is, it does feel like there's some bandwidth left, opportunities perhaps left on the table. And in some ways, despite the great growth in purses, for example, on the LPGA Tour over the last 4 years of her tenure, it just feels like the headlines that have been kind of stolen away has been the shuttle bus debacle at the Solheim Cup, locker room gate at Lake Nona a couple of years ago, a CEO in Terry Duffy at CME who has been an advocate for women's golf, who hasn't always been happy with the player communication, participation in dinners, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if those headlines will overshadow some of the tremendous growth the LPGA has had.
It almost felt like a seminal moment a couple weeks ago when you had Caitlin Clark playing in the Pro-Am with Nelly Korda. You couldn't help but look at that dichotomy of those two players and how those two players are viewed now in the sports world and say, could the LPGA be doing more? Could they expose her even more? Could they make Nelly Korda even more visible? We're looking at potentially a generational talent in Nelly Korda. Foster some other relationships. Create rivalries. Make sure everyone knows who Nelly Korda is. Make sure that LPGA tournaments in which she's playing are must-see TV a la Tiger back in his prime 25 years
ago.
Does
feel like there's some opportunities to maximize Nelly Korda. Well, let's take a look at some of the numbers from the tenure of Molly Marcoux-Simon. And when you look at the purses, we just talked about it, since 2021, when she took over, look at the total prize fund, $131 million, up 90%. Non-major purses total, over $83 million. That's up 45.8% since 2021. Major purses total, $47 million. That's a 104% increase since 2021. Molly Marcoux-Simon, of course, appointed commissioner back in May of that year. So the numbers are black and white. And those numbers look good.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They have grown in the 3.5 years. There's no doubt about that. You look at the CME Group Tour Championship, the more than $10 million purse, which would have seemed unthinkable just a couple of years ago. Athletes, even top 25, top 50 players are making more than they did. It's just we're getting closer to where it's a more equitable playing field against the men. We're not quite there yet. I wonder if a charismatic leader, someone who's really sort of endeavoring to empower the female athletes unlike ever before, can take this tour to even higher growths.
You brought up a great point, and that was the popularity, I think, of Mike Wann, who was always about making sure the players were connecting with the sponsors, that it was about those relationships. These were very big shoes to fill. Molly Marcuse-Simon, she was the athletic director at Princeton from 2014 to 2021. She brought a background as an ice hockey player and soccer player, an advocate for women's sports. But I almost felt in some ways that she kind of wasn't in the club in terms of golf, and that there were some lack of communication, maybe just a little bit of a disconnect in some ways between her and the membership. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, and I think that started to trickle out in some of the reporting by our colleague Beth Ann Nichols at Golf Week. Just sort of the friction that maybe remained between some of the top players and LPGA leadership. I think we saw that, the sort of friction or the divide between LPGA leadership and obviously what happened with the fans at the Solheim Cup as well. We've seen friction between LPGA leadership and title sponsors as well over the past couple of years. Mike Wann inherited a wildly different tour than Molly Marcuse-Simon did 3.5 years ago. Yeah. And I feel like the new commission that we're going to have, and they're starting a global search to find the commissioner going forward, will be inheriting an even stronger LPGA than what Molly Marcuse-Simon found it, and can now sort of elevate that to even greater heights, really capitalize on what is a tidal wave of momentum for women's sports, spurred by a Nelly Korda, a Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese and others.
Is it possible for Nelly Korda to even come close to the heights of a Caitlin Clark? I mean, when you look at the year that was, the rivalry toward the end of the year, Nelly Korda playing great golf, Lydia Ko adding a gold medal, clinching the LPGA Hall of Fame. It just feels like the stories were there right from the beginning of the year when you had that champagne on ice ready for Lydia Ko to clinch the Hall of Fame. And, of course, Nelly Korda beating her in the tournament earlier in the year. But it just seems like the stories are there. The players are performing. But how do you get that transcendence that a Caitlin Clark or Simone Biles has?
And look, to be clear, some of this will be incumbent upon Nelly Korda to capitalize on her own fame, her own popularity. She's going to need to be a willing participant to sort of elevate her stature in the game even more. We've seen Caitlin Clark sort of take the gloves off and be more involved in women's sports and trying to elevate it that way. Nelly Korda needs to do the exact same thing. And look, 2024 was a transformational year.
7 wins on the LPGA.
For Nelly Korda. And we've started to see her open up and show some of her personality more and more. She's going to be in the swimsuit issue. She's done late night
Met
talk
Gala.
Shows.
I mean, she has
started to become more visible with the mainstream sports audience. So some of it is going to be incumbent upon her. But I also think it's going to be some of the challengers on the LPGA. Can someone rise up and be a legitimate challenger, be a legitimate foil to Nelly Korda? Charlie Hull is sort of the first player that comes to mind, someone who has that personality, who could be engaging with the fans, who would sort of foster a really competitive, antagonistic relationship between two LPGA headliners. Yeah. That's what the tour needs moving
forward. You bullish? Are you bullish on the LPGA? You buying?
I think this would be a great job for someone to capitalize on and take it to even higher heights.
There'll be a lot of eyeballs on Nelly Korda in 2025. Molly Marcuse-Simon will not be a part of 2025, set to step down on January 9th. We take a look at the past commissioners of the LPGA Tour. You see Ty Votaw, of course, from 99-05, kind of overseeing that great rivalry between Annika Sorenstam and Kari Webb. And as mentioned, Mike Wann, look at that tenure, more than a decade, helping bring more eyeballs. Wanted big-time moments on the LPGA Tour. And coming up on the other side, much more reaction. Amy Rogers, Grant Boone, Paige McKenzie on Molly Marcuse-Simon stepping down as the commissioner of the LPGA Tour. Golf today on a Monday, the big news. LPGA Tour announcing today that Commissioner Molly Marcuse-Simon will be stepping down from her role On January 9th of next year, Liz Moore will assume the role of interim commissioner, and then the tour's board of directors will work with an executive search firm to conduct a global search for the organization's next commissioner. Damon Hack and Ryan Lavner with you as we continue to kind of wrap our minds around this news. And I'm curious, I mean, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about mixed team events. The LPGA needs the PGA Tour to kind of help. Is this an opportunity, a moment for whoever this next commissioner is going to be to kind of look to the PGA Tour in this kind of ever-shifting sands in the professional game as a whole?
Well, I think this is a seismic opportunity for the LPGA that they would be certainly keen to want to capitalize on, whether it's, you know, getting help from the PGA Tour or subsidizing purses or having more mixed events or even taking it sort of on the social streets and having YouTube challenges with with a Nelly Korda and a Scottie Scheffler, however you want to sort of look at that. And that's why I think, like, the LPGA is set in 2025. Right, like the schedule set, you know who the star players are going to be. They have opportunity now to create an overall vision for what this tour can and should be. I think that's one of the things that Molly Marcoux-Simon really struggled with, is that she had the business background. She shored up the financials clearly. You know, the players are making more money than they ever have before in the history of the LPGA. But let's see a big picture idea for the LPGA and what this tour can be good. And look, the PGA Tour is sort of at a similar crossroads.
Sure.
Right? They're having
a lot of unknowns.
They're
right
having
now
an identity crisis as well. That's why you really hope that they nail this search for the next commissioner, someone who can be charismatic, someone who does have a long-term vision for how great this can be and to really capitalize on this momentum.
We promised some reaction on this Monday. Right now we're joined by Tom Abbott, LPGA insider. It's nice to see you. Did this news surprise you, Tom? Did you see this coming?
I have to say it didn't surprise me, Damon. This has been talked about behind the scenes on the LPGA Tour for a little bit. Obviously, it's been publicized by Beth Ann Nichols. She wrote an article a few weeks ago talking about the tenure of the commission, not necessarily saying that she was going to step down, but sort of looking at some of the issues that had happened during her time as the boss of the LPGA Tour. So it doesn't surprise me. I felt like at the CME Group Tour Championship, the season-ending event a couple of weeks ago, the new schedule for 2025 was a positive step for Molly Marcoux-Simon. I felt like there was some more positivity around her that week, especially at the Rolex LPGA Awards and when the sort of tour gathered together with all of its partners. I felt there was some more positivity. And so I felt like maybe she was moving forward from some of the chatter that she might step down. But obviously that wasn't the case. And this was in the working. So I'm sad for her in a way because, you know, I've gotten to know her as the boss of the LPGA Tour. And I think she was very passionate about her job and the plight of women athletes and growing the opportunities for women and girls. You know, I think it's a disappointing moment for her, for, you know, not continuing on in this role. But as she said in her statement, she really wants to focus on her family, which I know has been an important part for her, obviously, and also difficult. It's difficult, right? You know, having a family and being in this job and being able to commit to all of the things that you need to do. So obviously, family is very important for her, and she's going to be able to concentrate on that in the short term.
Tom, what do you think Molly's greatest challenge or obstacle was during her tenure?
Well, I mean, I think there, behind the scenes, there was some work on benefits for the LPGA players. I know that she was very proud of that, moving forward to offer benefits for the players. That's not a very kind of sexy, you know, topic. It doesn't really get a lot of, you know, headlines, but that's something that's very important behind the scenes. I think she was very proud of that. I think, you know, one of the hardest things for the LPGA Tour is longevity in events. We saw a couple of events that were really sort of, you know, teetering on the edge with Toledo and Portland. Thankfully, they managed to get a sponsor for Portland, but Toledo is stepping back into a sort of dual Epson Tour, Legends Tour event. So, I mean, that's disappointing. The Founders Cup was disappointing for her with Cognizant moving away from their sponsorship. I think that was a big blow for the commissioner. And I think the television, you know, the relationship with the PGA Tour and NBC and Golf Channel was, you know, something that they were navigating. And that, you know, that's a very important part of the tour's business. And I think that was something they were working on. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's a disappointing situation for Molly Marcoux-Simon to be stepping down after this period of time. But I think that John Vemire and the board of the LPGA will be working hard now to find a replacement. And Molly Marcoux-Simon will still be involved in the next month or so as the transition continues. But, you know, it's not an easy job being the commissioner of the LPGA Tour. And Mike Wann did a very, very good job at the top, and it was probably hard to come in and fill his shoes afterwards. I mean, it's not an easy job dealing with a lot of different factors that obviously we don't know all about because we don't see it day to day.
Well, what do you think her legacy is going to be then, Tom? Is it going to be the growth in purses that we've seen, tremendous growth since 2021, or will it be the shuttle buses at the Solheim, the locker rooms at Lake Nona, Terry Duffy unhappy with some of the sponsor dinners in Naples?
Yeah, I think it's a shame if those moments sort of become her legacy. I think there are some of the little things that weren't taken care of, as you mentioned, obviously became much bigger issues. They weren't directly related to Molly Marcoux-Simon. She was not the one organizing the shuttle buses, and she was not the one organizing the locker rooms and having the right amount of lockers for the players, as you mentioned there. And she obviously wasn't the one that was dealing with the guest list for Terry Duffy's dinner. But at the end of the day, it does fall on her shoulders. And it's people not taking care of the little details. And that really makes a big difference at the end of the day. I hope that isn't her legacy. I hope that her legacy is the increase in purses and the amount of money that players are playing for. I think it's still obviously a long way below the men's game. But we know what has happened in the men's game to increase that growth. And when you look at the money list for the LPGA this year, there are some real steps forward, and players are making a very good living. They're just not making the same as the men in the equal position on the money list. That's obviously a big issue for players. They feel there should be some more equality there. But when you actually look at the amount of money that players are making, it's a very, very good living, especially inside the top 50 on the money list at the end of the year. So I think hopefully that will be her legacy. Whether it is, I don't know. I think the things that you mentioned, Damon, will certainly be in people's minds.
Tom, as it relates to a potential successor for Molly Marcoux-Simon, what do you think his or her greatest challenge is going to be in the years ahead for the LPGA?
Well, I think you do have to figure out what's going to happen on the men's side of things and what the PIF and the Saudis are going to do and what the PGA Tour is going to do and how that's going to come together. That affects the whole of the ecosystem of the game of golf. So that does affect the LPGA Tour and what is available and the collaboration that may be ahead and how that plays out in the women's game. So that's, I think, number one. I think number two is really strengthening the relationships with sponsors and finding big corporations to get involved and to be able to really keep the longevity of events. I mean, if you look at the PGA Tour, and you look at the first 7 or 8 months of the year, from January through to August, a lot of those events have been going for years, decades. They are really implanted in the community, in big cities around America. That isn't always the case for the LPGA Tour. Events come and go. And I think really what the LPGA needs is to get some big corporations, some organizations to come in and to keep that longevity. If you look at the Cognizant Founders Cup, for example, that was off to a great start. And now Cognizant has moved out and it's moving down to Bradenton. So that's a big change. You look at even the Lotto Championship now, one of sort of the longest running events in Hawaii, started back in 2012. That's not that long. You know, you're talking 15 years and an event becomes a really long running event on the LPGA Tour. That's, I think, one of the difficulties is to find these connections with the communities and to keep that going for a long period of time, and that then generates interest and it gets people involved and it keeps the event running for a long time. If you look at the PGA Tour event in Charlotte, Wells Fargo goes away and you have a new sponsor in Truist coming in. So I think that isn't happening on the LPGA. That's one of the biggest challenges. And I think, you know, the media landscape is something that's very important for the LPGA Tour. They are really a global tour. You've got to have the connections in Asia. You've got to, you know, work on that market as well as the US. And obviously, there may be some opportunities in Europe with the ladies' European tour. So when you look at that job and the things I've just talked about, you can see how complicated it is. It's not an easy position. And finding the right person who wants to go into that environment and take on that challenge, I don't think it's an easy task. And, you know, this isn't a job where you get massive stock options and bonuses and grants. You know, that isn't the case for the LPGA Tour. Obviously, it's well paid, but, you know, if you're a CEO and you're looking at opportunities, you may not look at the LPGA. So you need to find somebody who's really passionate about the game, who really knows a lot of people within the game of golf and can make those connections and can deal with all of the factors that are involved for being the commissioner of the LPGA Tour. It's not easy. And you have the players are basically your bosses, and, you know, keeping the players happy and being able to communicate with them and know what they want moving forward. It's a difficult job. And I think, you know, Molly Marcoux-Simon did a good job. She had some failings. It's a shame that she's stepping away. But I think it just shows how difficult this position is.
And the LPGA Board of Directors will be conducting a global search for a new commissioner. Tom, thank you for your time and thoughts.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
And right now we're joined by our own Paige McKenzie. Paige, your initial reaction to the news that Molly Marcoux stepping down as commissioner effective January 9th.
I, like Tom, had heard the rumblings back at the CME Group Tour Championship that there may be a limited amount of time of which she would stay on as commissioner. So I'm not shocked by the news. I'm disappointed, you know, that it's come to an end in this way. I think there's been a lot of great news that have come out, but I think there's underlying dissatisfaction with the leadership and vision that she had in place. And I think that's really what comes down to. I think Tom touched on potentially the relationships and the relationship building aspect of this job, which is so incredibly challenging. There's so many stakeholders when you talk about the LPGA tour, or the LPGA, because it's more than just the tour. It's also the LPGA teaching professionals. It's also the LPGA Foundation. It's working with tournament owners. It's working with tournament sponsors. It's working with tour sponsors. It's a massively complicated task to be able to manage all of those stakeholders and the relationships that go along with it. But I think early on, that was always going to be Molly's biggest challenge. And I think ultimately, I think that's where the opportunity lies for whoever becomes the next commissioner, is to rebuild and to strengthen the relationships with the stakeholders, and then also create the great opportunity in what's happening in sport right now.
Paige, you mentioned vision there. How would you articulate what Molly's overall vision for the tour was, and do you think that she actually realized it during her tenure?
I think that's a great question, Ryan, and I feel like that was asked very early on. And Molly's response very early on was, "We're listening. I'm listening." And I think there was a breakdown in communication in exactly what her vision was and how she saw growth happening. Too often, and this is my own personal opinion as an LPGA member and a member of the media, is too often I was hearing, companies, networks, whoever should invest just because we're women's sports and everybody loves women's sports and that's... And I didn't see the value argument. And I think moving forward, just for me, what I would love to hear from the next leader of the LPGA is explaining why the LPGA has value and how it can benefit all the partners involved. And I'm sure that she had that argument. I do not feel like that was communicated. To me, when you look at what's going on, and she was so often asked about Caitlin Clark, because Caitlin Clark has become the biggest, if not one of the biggest, names in 2024, 2023. And it's not because she's a woman. It's not because she plays women's sports. It's because she's a great athlete. And I think we're at that tipping point, I hope anyway, we're at that tipping point in women's golf where it's no longer the women's game and the men's game. Let's just talk about the athletes. And because of that, that's where I would make the value proposition. is that because we're at this tipping point and we can start selling our athletes as athletes first, not women's athletes, that there is great opportunity here. And I didn't hear that communicated, and maybe that's not what her vision was, but irrespective of that, I cannot answer your question, Ryan, because I don't feel like I understood the vision clearly. And I think that needs to happen with the next commissioner, is that there needs to be clear communication as to what the path forward is going to look like. And I think that needs to happen also as part of the hiring process. As people come in, there should be somebody, hopefully, that is understanding of the environment, understanding of the stakeholders, understanding of the relationships that are there, and then they can have at least an idea of the direction and how they would want to push the LPGA forward.
Paige, I can't help but think about the LPGA Tour membership on this Monday. Take us inside the locker room as a player. What does a player want from a commissioner? Motivation, inspiration, direction? What did Paige McKenzie want out of an LPGA Tour commissioner?
I lived through a very interesting time when I was a player, and my environment is very different than that of what has happened over the last several years. And Molly, for all intents and purposes, have done a great job in increasing the purses, which is incredibly important as a player, and providing those opportunities for the players. For me, what additionally is important for a leader and a commissioner is trust and communication and a vision. And I also believe what Mike Wan did well while I was there was setting an expectation of what your job was. We know that it's to hit the ball from the tee to the green. But in addition to that, it's a partnership between the tour and you as an entertainment property. And knowing and understanding your role in that. And that was inclusive of putting a note in every single locker at the beginning of the week, identifying who the title sponsor is, why they're involved, what you can do to support their goal, which often was leaving charity money behind, and so that you understood the business of the LPGA too. So you understood where your value was to the tour, because it is circular. Without players, there's no tour, but without the tour, there's no players. And without sponsors, it's the triangle that's involved in keeping, you know, the boat afloat. And I think understanding and communicating that to players, that there is an expectation, I think that's where one of the more disappointing, and you're going to talk about some of the, I heard you talk about some of the failings as it relates to Solheim Cup, but one of the things that stood out to me this year is when Molly came on the air and said, "You're not doing enough." And I'm like, "Well, we're here literally on air with you at this event. I don't know what more you want from us." And to me, there's some of those communications there. It didn't make sense. Why are we airing this publicly? Why aren't you having this conversation with us off to the side? And what was it then that you would expect from your players? You know, for us as the media, if we're not doing enough, okay, well, what do you expect for your players to do an interview with us? And she said, no, if they're not comfortable. And to me, and I'm paraphrasing this exchange, but to me, that's where there should be a greater expectation on the players and the understanding of their role in the business. Because I think there's an incredible opportunity here. And I'm not here to bash on Molly. I think she did a tremendous job. And you can look at the numbers to say that. All I'm saying is if I were to look forward as to what could be next, to me, that is a great opportunity.
And Paige, just to follow on this, because you're as wildly connected as anyone with the LPGA, how do you think this move will be viewed by the membership, her stepping down and now a potential fresh start in 2025?
Viewed by the membership, is it? To me, it's just the next step. It's finding the next leader. I don't think it's necessarily a positive or a negative. I think that most of the players are pretty happy with Molly as a commissioner as it relates to increasing purses, as it relates to continuing great opportunities, finding new partnerships, things like that. I know that she was hiring a lot of people, so I think a lot of the players may have felt more supported considering that the staff had grown larger. But I also think that some of the players were looking at what is next. How can we best capitalize on this moment in time? where sport is so popular right now. The growth among women within golf, the growth among women's sports within the sports landscape. To me, there's incredible momentum. And I think, and this is, again, I'm not in the player meetings anymore. So it's hard for me to speak exactly what the players would be hearing from her. But there seemed to be at least a lack of communication from administration outward as to what the greater vision would be, other than we just need to continue to grow. And it wasn't a lot of A, B, and C. But that's just my take on it.
LPGA looking for some new opportunities in 2025, also looking for a new commissioner as Molly Marcoux-Simon set to step down January 9th of next year. Paige, thank you so much. Coming up next, Beth Ann Nichols, Golf Week Magazine, with more reaction on the commissioner stepping down.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Breaking news on this Monday, the LPGA Tour announcing today that Commissioner Molly Marcoux-Simon will be stepping down from her role on January 9th, 2025. Liz Moore will assume the role of interim commissioner, and the Tour's board of directors will work with an executive search firm to conduct a global search for the organization's next commissioner. This statement from Molly Marcoux-Simon as she steps down: I'm proud of the unprecedented growth the LPGA has enjoyed since I began my tenure. The strategy we have built for growth and impact, along with the infrastructure we have added to capitalize on the tremendous opportunity ahead, will serve the LPGA well in the coming decades. With the LPGA positioned for continued growth, it's time for me to have more time to cheer on our three amazing children as they live their dreams, while I continue to pursue my passion for building leaders, uniting communities, and creating value through sports, particularly women's sports. As we're joined now by Beth Ann Nichols, Golf Week Magazine. You've written a lot about this commissioner in good times, talking about the purse growth over the last several years, but also some of the many controversies as well. I ask you, Beth Ann Nichols, did you see today coming?
Yes and no. I would say, you know, I didn't see the announcement coming today specifically, but I certainly have heard a lot of whispers and conversations about it for several weeks now that, you know, change could be coming, should change be coming, people asking, you know, the question. And you know, I think there are just a lot of factors that going into this. I will say, in terms of Molly's statement about her family, she talks a lot about her family. She's very dedicated to her children. In fact, number of tournaments she'd be dashing, she'd be there early week, dash somewhere for one of her kids, and dash back. You know, she had an enormously difficult schedule balancing all of that, and whoever steps into this role next will have something similar. It is without question one of the toughest jobs in all of sports.
Beth Ann, how do you view her legacy?
Well, you know, I think she really put the athlete first. You know, when you look at a lot of her initiatives, you know, insurance, health insurance, fully subsidized for the first time starting next year for the vast majority of players. You look at, you know, hiring a sports psychologist on staff, you know, all the small things that she did and the big things that she did with minimum payouts for players, you know, free hotels, a lot of things that she helped to ease the financial burden for players, I think was a huge part. Obviously, you're going to look at those big numbers of the purses. That tells a big tale. But I also think there are a lot of other numbers that we don't know the full extent of those numbers in terms of how much money went out. This is the first, she came into a position where for the first time in a long time, the LPGA, or maybe ever, I guess, actually, the LPGA had money to spend. So she had to steward that money. How was she going to spend it? And how quick would those returns come back to the tour? You know, I don't know the bottom line of the numbers, but I do know that she said the staff has increased 35% since, you know, in recent years, since she's been at the helm. When you look at what we've seen in marketing and content, how much that team has grown. And can we really say that the LPGA is better off for it in terms of exposure, in terms of how many people know about what Nelly Korda is doing? I think that's a big question mark. So I think for, you know, a lot of people were starting to look at the amount of money that was being spent, how it was being spent and asking a lot of questions, because there's not just the money that players are playing for. There's also the budget that's a big deal too. So I think there were a lot of concerns that I was hearing grumbling about that as well.
Increased purses since 2021, a telegenic world number one from a superstar family, a New Zealander via Korea who has a gold, silver, and bronze, who just punched her ticket to the LPGA Hall of Fame. Why is this the toughest job, or one of the toughest jobs in sports, as you say?
Well, I think one of the big reasons is that you don't have a lot of sponsors that are around for a long time. There's just so much turnover in this position. And, you know, as I said in a previous column, you know, you get one win up on the board and then a fire breaks out somewhere else and you're trying to find a sponsor to fill this hole. So you're constantly trying to, you know, plug holes in this job of finding, you know, someone else to come on board. And I think when you look at Cognizant stepping away at the Founders Cup being such an important part of Mike Blond's legacy and the tours overall, and then to see that, you know, a top 100 company left so quickly was really concerning. You know, that's the type of partnership that you hope actually leads to more top 100 Fortune 500 companies to come on board and not the opposite. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, this takes someone, whoever fills Molly Marcuse-Amon's shoes, I think has to come from the industry that has a direct knowledge of how all this works, because the LPGA just can't afford to have someone get to understand how it works, get to know the important players in terms of not just the Nelly Cordas on the tour, but, you know, the folks writing checks, that, you know, the movers and shakers in golf. There are so many things on the horizon with how is the LPGA going to handle the potential merger with the LET? How are they going to handle Golf Saudi? What's going on with the gender policy? You know, there's so many big issues at stake, and whoever comes in next has to be able to hit the ground running, has to have a, you know, a contact list that can score wins quickly.
Beth Ann, if for some reason you were on the search committee for a new commissioner, where would you start? What do you think is the biggest selling point for the LPGA Tour that you would think would be most attractive to Molly Marcuse-Amon's potential successor?
Well, I think you look at the star quality right now. I mean, I had a player say to me, it was Leon O'Guire at the CME Group Tour Championship. She said, look at what we did inside the ropes this year. Look at what Nelly Korda and Lydia Ko accomplished. And then, of course, she named a few other players who have won multiple times, and Ronan Yin and Hannah Green. And she said, I don't think we could have done more. And yet, you know, we aren't seeing a 2025 schedule that's that different than 2024. We aren't seeing a lot of new folks coming on board and investing in our brand. And I think that she hits the nail on the head. When you look at the quality of talent right now, the depth of talent on the LPGA, you know, it's global to unlike any other sports organization. When you really break it down, it should be, you know, something that many top companies are wanting to partner with. So I think talent, the athleticism is what you have first and foremost.
You've covered this tour for a long time. You remember the end of the Carolyn Bivens era. Obviously, Mike Wan, wildly popular. As we sit here at the end of 2024, do you believe that the LPGA is an attractive product in a good spot, able potentially to take advantage of Nelly Korda's popularity and youth and some of the storylines of the players that we've seen on the golf course, Taya Titikun, for example?
I do. I think this is vastly different from, you know, let's say, you know, the Carolyn Bivens era. And this is not a rebuild. This is just, you know, there's an opportunity here that can't pass the LPGA by. As the LPGA turns 75, you know, they can't afford to rest on their laurels here. And I think that all the ingredients are in place. It's just a matter of getting that vision together, getting those relationships solidified, getting all the top players on board, you know, ready to pitch in wherever it's needed. You know, I think that the LPGA is definitely an extremely attractive a product. And I think that, you know, the next commissioner has to be an extraordinarily effective communicator to get everyone on board and believing in what they have.
And it is a product in transition looking for a new commissioner for 2025. Beth Ann Nichols, always great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And more reaction ahead on this Monday to the news. Molly Marcoux-Simon stepping down as LPGA commissioner effective next month. Amy Rogers joins us next on Golf Today. The news on this Monday, the LPGA Tour announcing today that Commissioner Molly Marcoux-Simon will be stepping down from her role on January 9th, 2025. Liz Moore will assume the role of interim commissioner, and the Tour's board of directors will work with an executive search firm to conduct a global search for the organization's next commissioner. Some numbers under the tenure of Molly Marcoux-Simon, who was appointed in May of 2021. Look at that total prize fund, $131 million, up 90% from 2021. You see the non-major purses total of over $83 million, and the major purses total $47 million, 104% increase since 2021. Amy Rogers joins us on this Monday. Your level of surprise of this breaking news with Molly Marcoux-Simon stepping down.
Hey, guys. Well, after speaking to several players at the CME Group Tour Championship, I can't say that I'm very surprised to see that Molly Marcoux-Simon is going to be stepping down. I talked with a number of players just to get their reaction to the schedule, and it kind of opened up a Pandora's box, if you will, not only getting their reaction to the schedule, but they started sharing a lot of their thoughts and feelings about Marcoux-Simon and the schedule and her overall tenure. And I think there was an overall feeling amongst the players that she was trying to please everyone, and in doing so, she really wasn't pleasing anyone at all. The general reaction that I got from most of the players to the schedule was kind of mediocre. They felt like it was okay, but it didn't check a lot of the boxes that they were looking for. It didn't address a lot of the challenges that they had expressed. And that brought up another issue that I heard from a lot of players, that communication had really become a problem within the organization. Not only communication, but also transparency as well. Now, there were several players that I spoke to that didn't want to talk on camera about some of these concerns, not just with the schedule, but with Marcoux-Simon. But one player I did speak to was Megan Kang, who said that she had addressed some of these issues specifically with Molly Marcoux-Simon to her directly, and saying that she felt like she just needed to do more, that she needed to take that extra step to go above and beyond. And I think that's where we saw some of the disappointment amongst the players, that she wasn't going that extra step with the sponsors. And we've seen that reflected in one issue that had become a real sticking point amongst the players with the schedule. You saw that the Founders Cup had lost its presenting sponsor, Cognizant, that had left the LPGA to go to the PGA Tour. And that was something that was a real sticking point with the players, that they couldn't even have a sponsor for this event that means so much to the LPGA. So I think it just became a compounding issue, and not really a huge surprise then to see that Marcoux-Simon will be stepping down.
And much more from Amy Rogers in just a little bit. Right now, we're joined by a two-time major champ, eight-time winner on the LPGA Tour, who announced her retirement at the end of this year. Brittany Lincecum joins us on this Monday. Speaking of player reaction, your reaction to this news, Molly Marcoux-Simon stepping down as commissioner.
Hi, guys. I'm retired now. I'm driving around the golf cart watching my husband golf. It's a weird feeling. I was actually surprised, like 50-50, I guess. Like, there had been rumors of some negative stuff that the players felt that Molly wasn't doing. And, you know, but at the end of the day, like, you're never going to please 144 women. Like, it's a hard job. It was going to be a hard job for whoever came in. Mike Wan obviously crushed it. I am sad to see her go, because I do think she was really putting her heart and soul into it and helping us. And she really cared about the LPGA and was trying to help us. But at the end of the day, you know, they're like Amy mentioned, there was a couple things that, you know, players wanted her to kind of work on, but I mean, she was only there, what, 3 years? So maybe she just needed a little bit more time, but you know, here we are and we're moving forward, and the LPGA is in a great spot. We have so many new events. We are playing for so much more money. I wish I was a rookie this year and not retiring, just to get a piece of that money. But, the LPGA is in a great spot.
Brittany, overall, when you look at Molly Marcoux-Simon's tenure, do you think that she maximized the opportunity that was in front of her with this boon to women's sports, the popularity spike of Nelly Korda this year winning seven times? How do you think overall she did sort of maximizing the potential of the LPGA and its players?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, we could always say, like, what if she would have done this or what if she would have done that? But again, if you look at, you know, we have new events on the schedule. We're going to play for what I saw, $131 million, which is up. You know, we're moving in the right direction. The majors are all stepping up. We're playing for more money. We're on more network TV. TV, our deal is still always iffy. But I feel like we were still going in the right direction, even with, you know, maybe missing the mark with Nelly or even having Caitlin Clark out last week at Pelican. But again, you know, it's hard to say that now. But I mean, I liked Molly. I think she was great, and I wish her nothing but the best.
You know, Brittany, one thing that Amy Rogers said was a sticking point was the schedule, lack of continuity, play for 3 weeks, off for a month. How much of a talking point was that amongst the players, just the challenges of the LPGA schedule?
Yeah, in my 20 years, I think the schedule is probably the number one topic other than either slow play or slow practice rounds. So the schedule, you know, when you talk to Julie Inkster back in the day when I was wanting to have children, she was like, oh, we could drive to every tournament. I'm like, well, that's not a thing anymore on the LPGA. You can't drive to hardly any tournament. So we are always striving for trying to get like the men's, like how they have events in Florida and then they kind of go to Georgia and you kind of just, you can follow the tour along and we're not bouncing back and forth from East Coast to West Coast or from another country coming back. So the schedule is always number one topic, always trying to get that right. But that's not even just always on Molly. You know, there's other, you know, people in the LPGA organization that are trying to make that puzzle work. And it's like a Tetris kind of puzzle of trying to, you know, some sponsors obviously want their certain weeks and you can't get them to change. The majors obviously have priority of what weeks they want. So it's a tricky situation. And listen, I wish we were like the men where we had, you know, Florida, Georgia, you know, we could drive everywhere. It was, you know, a lot easier, but it is what it is. And we got to follow the money sometimes. But yeah, the schedule is always a topic, a hot topic.
Brittany, you've seen a number of commissioners now during your playing career. What qualities or characteristics should the LPGA be looking for in their search for Molly Marcoux-Simon's successor?
Did you just call me old?
veteran savvy.
Yeah, veteran. There we go. You know, it's really somebody like Mike Wan. You know, not that Molly didn't, but he was on the first tee. He was out at the golf course, even in Thailand, Singapore, on the tees, like, what can I be doing for you? How can I make your life better? What can I do to make the tour better? And he really listened to what we had to say. And again, you're not going to please 144 women all the time. It's very challenging. But somebody like that, that's really comes in and kind of puts their, you know, career on pause and really kind of looks at what we're looking for and maybe make a checklist and try to, you know, go after all those things, which I know Molly was doing. So again, not to throw her under the bus, but just the next commissioner definitely coming in, you know, asking the players, you know, what they're looking for, how can we make it better, how can we grow together, I think is definitely number one.
You know, Brittany, one talking point over the last several years as well, the LPGA Tour needs the help of the PGA Tour, more mixed team events. You know, your play stands on its own. You're a two-time major champ. What's your reaction when you hear that, oh, the LPGA needs the PGA Tour's help?
Yeah, I feel like it's a pride thing of not wanting people's help, but obviously the PGA plays for a lot more money than we play for, and we're not trying to get equal pay. We're just trying to bridge that gap a little bit. So if that means, you know, asking for some help and asking for them to, you know, do more team events. I mean, I remember going to the JCPenney Classic, which was a team event here in Tampa, Florida at Innisbrook when I was maybe like 12 years old, and I loved it. I was a standard bearer for John Daly and Laura Davies, and that's how I kind of like fell in love with the game and women's golf. So I think definitely having at least one or two of those would be fun. I mean, we have one at the end of the year, the Grand Thornton, but I think there's only 12 groups. So definitely needs to be a bigger thing. I think it would be really cool. But hey, if the PGA can help grow us and make us better, I am all for leaving the game better than what it was and growing the game of golf and women's golf. And if that means taking the PGA's help, I would love that.
Brittany, short term, what do you think the vision or the future of the LPGA could look like?
Oh, I mean, I think, like I said before, it's just, the LPGA is such in a great place. And I believe I read Liz Moore is going to take over. And she's obviously been a part of the LPGA for a long time. And all the people below her We have a great team of people at the LPGA, and they all have the same goal. I feel like just to try to build the LPGA, grow the game, and do all these wonderful things for us. So I feel like the LPGA is in a great spot. However long it takes to find us a new commissioner, we'll be fine with the staff that we have. But I know, just talking to some other staff members already this morning, you know, just head down, you know, making sure the LPGA stays on track until we can find somebody to lead us in the right direction. But the LPGA is in a great spot, and I'm super proud of them.
Brittany, we just spoke to Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week magazine, who said that the LPGA Tour commissioner job is one of the toughest in sports. Do you agree? And if so, why?
How do you please 144 women every week? It's got to be very challenging. You know, obviously, you're trying to make the players happy, and then we got to go talk to all the sponsors. So what do we have, 30-some events on the schedule? So you have to go talk to each sponsor and make sure they're okay and they're getting what they need and they're happy. So it's a lot of pleasing of people, and it's definitely a hard job. That's why I wish we would have given Molly maybe a little bit more time, because you're not going to come into it right away and be Mike Wan or be the greatest commissioner. You're not going to get it right away. And I feel like just with maybe a little bit more time, maybe she could have figured it out. But it's a tough job. It's a tough job. Male, female, doesn't matter. Whoever comes in, God bless them. And they got their work cut out for them, for sure.
Well, Brittany, it's a big day in the LPGA. We're going to miss you in 2025. But as you said, you wish you were a rookie. I'm sure they'll leave the light on for you if you want to come back. Thanks for your time.
Thank you guys so much.
There she is, two-time major champ, Brittany Lincecum, crossing the top of the hour on this Monday. In case you're just joining us on Golf Today, the news of the day, LPGA Tour announcing today that Commissioner Molly Marcoux-Simon stepping down effective January 9th, 2025. The Tour's board of directors will conduct a global search for a new commissioner. This, a statement from Molly Marcoux-Simon earlier today: proud of the unprecedented growth the LPGA has enjoyed since I began my tenure. The strategy we have built for growth and impact, along with the infrastructure we have added to capitalize on the tremendous opportunity ahead, will serve the LPGA well in the coming decades. With the LPGA positioned for continued growth, it's time for me to have more time to cheer on our three amazing children as they live their dreams, while I continue to pursue my passion for building leaders, uniting communities, and creating value through sports, particularly women's sports. And Amy Rogers rejoins us on this Monday. You were listening to our interview with Brittany Lincecum, who says the LPGA is in a good spot. What did you take away from what the two-time major champ had to say?
The LPGA is definitely in a stronger place than it was, you know, several years ago. But I just want to comment on the statement that we just were looking at from Molly Marcoux-Simon that I think is very telling. And she mentions there about how they've created more of a strategy. They've built out the infrastructure. I think we have to remember, too, that as the LPGA is trying to grow in popularity, and we're talking about bringing in more fans and bringing in more prize money, the LPGA is also trying to grow. I spent 5 years working at the LPGA when Mike Wan was the commissioner, and it has grown enormously in the time since he and I both left the LPGA. They brought in tons of staff, especially on the content side, to try and capitalize on the stories of the players, to try and share more of that on social media. But then there's other departments that haven't grown as much. So I think there's a challenge here, and this is part of the reason why Marcoux-Simon is stepping down, is there's definitely, you know, some growing pains here. How can they address, and I think Marcoux-Simon has brought this up through the years, how can they address the growing need on the LPGA side if they don't have the infrastructure behind it? So they're trying to grow in tandem, and I think the LPGA is growing, and they're adding staff, as she mentioned in her statement, but to try and keep up with then the demands and the growth, you know, to capitalize on a Nelly Korda moment like we saw at the beginning of the year, they're just not there yet. So to Brittany Lincecum's point, maybe with a couple more years, with a little bit more time, maybe we would have seen more return on that. Of course, now we'll never really know, but I feel like Marcoux-Simon has taken the LPGA forward, but they still have some ways to go.
Just to follow on that, Amy, where do you think the greatest areas of growth potential are? Is it in scheduling? Is it in sort of player enhancements? Is it more network TV? Like, where do you see the opportunities for the LPGA to really go even higher in 2025 and beyond?
It's across the board. I feel like you're taking an organization that always kind of had this family mom and pop sort of feel to it. And that was the charm of the LPGA, you know, started by these 13 women and founders of this organization. And so it always had a very small feel when I was with the LPGA. And so I think across the board, all of those areas are points that need to grow, that need to improve, but they just don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the bodies in place. And so I think they're kind of working their way around from department to department to be able to address some of those needs, whether that's creating a marketing department as they did under Mark Cusimon's tenure. There was no marketing department during my time at the LPGA. So now they have one in place, and now we need to see what they're able to do. Same with the other departments, to be able to build those out, to give these departments the staff, the expertise that they need to be able to go and negotiate these deals, to be able to, you know, bring in more opportunities for exposure and different rights deals, and to capitalize on that growth when they physically don't have the departments or the bodies to do that, there's only so much that they can do.
Amy, in a year that has seen Caitlin Clark rise and Angel Reese, and you have Katie Ledecky, Suni Lee, Simone Biles, it's an unprecedented time in women's sports. Do you sense that the LPGA membership and the players that you talk to, are they frustrated that not enough has been done, or do they feel that Nellie Korda is of that ilk as well, and that the LPGA is doing what it can with what it has?
The players that I spoke to, there was definitely a recognition that the LPGA was trying, and Mark Cusimon specifically was trying. I don't think there was a feeling that there wasn't an effort there, but I think there was also a feeling that more could be done. What that was specifically, I don't think the players necessarily knew or had the expertise to be telling me exactly what they thought should be done. But I think there's just a sense that there was more potential there, that more, you know, could have been done. I asked Molly Mark Cusimon at the CME Group Tour Championship about some of the criticism she had received about perhaps not capitalizing on Nellie Korda's success and what she would say to that. And she didn't really defend herself except to say that she felt like the stats spoke for themselves, that the numbers spoke for themselves. And so in her mind, she felt like they had capitalized to the best of their potential. But I think that's why we're having this conversation we're having now. If she felt like she had capitalized on it, then obviously there was a disconnect there because others certainly didn't think so. And that's led to, you know, her obviously stepping away from the LPGA. And like Beth Ann Nichols mentioned earlier, you couldn't have had a better storyline to begin this season. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better. And so to still not be able to further capitalize on the growth of adding more events to the schedule or increasing purses, I mean, a lot of those numbers that you're seeing are comparisons to 2021, not from last year. Essentially, purses went up $3 million over last year, and the events were essentially a wash. So I think there's something there that there was more expectation that given the success of Nellie Korda this past year, that you would have more of a Caitlin Clark effect. We'd see a huge boon in LPGA events added to the schedule, huge increases in prize money, and we just didn't see that.
And the LPGA Tour now a tour in flux and looking for a new commissioner, new leadership for 2025. Amy, thank you for reporting. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.